Black rain is falling, contaminating the ground. The human race is dying. The dead are scattered around. What is the price of a bullet? Another hole in the head. A black rain over a coffin.
Listening to great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice, I'm Steve Lerman. If you've just joined us, what we're listening to is Vulture's Picnic. Greg Palast presents his investigation of the BP oil spill and talks about the corruption he says permeates the oil industry, the financial sector, and the government. And here is Greg.
Racketeering investigation. of the nuclear power plant builders, Stone and Webster. By the way, you may know Stone and Webster. You know, the if you ever read John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman, that's who he's hitting for. I was on the other side. I was getting hit. Okay. So we had a racketeering case going into what these guys are up to and their builders. And I said, get the notebook. And there's a notebook. Now, every nuclear engineer, people who are structural engineers, nuclear engineers, say, you know, you carry a notebook and you write down everything you hear and say and what you do during the day. And the notebook said, 1983 notebook. And I'm reading you the words, which you'll also see here, handwritten notes. It said, Wiesel was very upset. He seemed very nervous, very agitated. These are the handwritten notes, the diary. Nuclear engineer. Now, this is from a guy who is the chief structural engineer for the nuclear plant operation at Stone and Webster. And Wiesel was the head of the guy who measured what's called seismic qualification, anything that shakes a plant, right? And he says in his notebook about the construction testing, Wiesel was upset. He said the plants were riddled with problems that no way on earth could stand an earthquake. Most of these components would completely and utterly fail during an earthquake. They knew. They knew. They knew and they covered it up. Now, I should tell you, by the way, that I put that in front of a jury, federal jury, federal court. And the jury found Stone and Webster was part of a conspiracy generator test, faked the cost of these plants, right? Hit them for $4 billion, they're co-conspirators anyway, kind of put Stone and Webster out of business. Except corporations are people, right? Just like, you know, that's what the Supreme Court said, you know, corporations are people, they can go to Iraq and get their legs blown off, right? But corporations can do something very special. They can shift shape, not, you know, like Harry Potter characters. So corporation people are very different than people. So, by the way, last year, did you notice that there was that Obama in May had passed an emergency bill with for armor for our boys in Iraq and Afghanistan? It passed almost unanimously because who's against armor and it was body armor for our soldiers? Because there's no member of Congress who would vote against body armor for our soldiers and four nuclear plants. In the footnotes, wrapped in the body armor, $8 billion of loan guarantees for four reactors, the down payment of a $56 billion program stuck in the body armor. Cool. I mean, I was actually quite impressed. I smelled Houston, the ship channel, and I knew. Sure enough, there's this shift-shaped corporation, nine, back and forth. Well, first, that's a lot of construction work. All four plants will be built by Shaw Construction, which is the new name of Stone and Webster Nuclear. Sleep tight. Don't worry, they're already busy because they've been given the contract to rebuild Fukushima. Kid you not. Okay, now, that's not enough. I get something through the mail. About this thick, about as thick as Folger's picnic. I call it the radioactive brick. From Texas. And I don't know who sent it because I burnt the envelope before I could read the return address. But all I know is that there is a document, what we call the radioactive brick, which says, submitted in confidence, trade secrets, or confidential. They didn't know what kind of cover they wanted to use for this stuff. And by the way, all these documents, I want to tell you something. People say, where's the footnotes? This is not something you Google. This is something you go get. But there are documents. And the documents are here, the photos of the documents, they're in the films. But if you want to get a closer look at the documents, the fuller, closer thing, we do something new, brand new. You go to vulturespicnic.org when you get this book and go into the file cabinet and you'll see the material. We're adding the evidence now. You can actually see the evidence as I would show it to a jury if we had laws. Okay? Like we used to. And by the way, so what's in this? This document that's strictly $5 billion was the bid that Houston Light and Power, Nina, Reliant, NRG, they have all kinds of names. Bid with Stone and Webster, excuse me, Shaw, to get the work. And they bid $5 billion per reactor to get this guarantee, the easy squeezy out of the body armor. And in nuclear planet, $5 billion is cheap for a reactor, even though that's enough to have a wind farm that can blow Washington to the Azores, not a bad idea. And but at the bottom, it says the two reactors are $14.2 billion. Now, wait. Now, many of you have gone through, Bush's No Child's Behind Left educational program may not realize that half of 14 is 7, which is not 5. There's 5 and there's 7. Now, that's a $2 billion difference per reactor. Now, $2 billion in my neighborhood is money. In fact, in the old days, it was fraud. But here is something interesting about corporation people. Now, if you commit a fraud, you go to jail. Okay? If you commit racketeering, you go to jail. Okay? That's what I used to do, racketeering cases. Okay? For the feds. But if you are a power company corporation people, including the Stone and Webster operation and these guys, the Supreme Court has said, you're exempt from the racketeering law. Exempt. And that is why we occupy. Okay? Now, Vultures Picnic, the vultures. We have nuclear, we have all this, but the vultures. Now, Goldfinger, I told you, I'm sorry he's not here to, tell you the story himself. But I know the FBI is looking for him. We followed Goldfinger, followed his tracks to Zambia. We followed Paul the Vulture Singer to the Congo. I was just in Congo a couple weeks ago. That's why I'm with invited Friends of Congo here, because in New York last week, Friends of Congo and Occupy Wall Street crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. Because people say, where do we go next? They went to 300 DeKalb Avenue, which is the office of FG Hemisphere, which is a company which got a piece of paper, a debt supposedly owed by the Congo or Zaire, which doesn't exist, to Yugoslavia, which doesn't exist. And from that, they took $100 million out of the accounts of the Congo. Okay. That's a story. I had to go to Sarajevo, payment to the Prime Minister of Bosnia, who's now being sought for criminal charges for giving Goldfinger this debt, which doesn't supposed to exist anymore. Go to the Congo, and I meet Endo and Sako, and that's why we occupy. See, I'm occupying for Endo and Sako. Now, he is a 14-year-old kid like my son. I have twins. Who has cholera. Cholera in the 21st century. You get cholera from bad water. Okay? Water. It's pretty easy to fix. $1,200, you dig a well, you got a village, $500. Congo, it sold $80 million worth of cobalt. The Civil War had ended. Millions had died. $80 million worth of cobalt sold. And when I went to the Congo, UNICEF and the British Foreign Office said, oh, yeah, this money's coming in and we're going to dig enough wells to actually give 40 million people clean water, end of cholera. And I said, no, you're not. Because the vultures, Goldfingers, swooped in. And this, by the way, this vulture fund turns out to be a two-car garage. So when we cross the bridge, Friends of the Congo and the occupiers, it's a two-car garage. And that's what holds $80 million of the Congo's wealth and asking for more. That's where the clean water went. Now, how do you get a complicated story, right? You're saying, well, exactly what is he saying? I'm sorry, you're going to have to get the book. Yeah, you do. Because you really have to have something when your brother-in-law says, I don't know what they're doing. And I do recommend the hardbound book to educate them. Can't do that with an iPad. So you get those cool movies. Yeah. So we follow kids. You don't go to the Walmart to get a debt of a poor nation. This is what the vultures do, right? In the case of Zambia, I was investigating for BBC, and again, I'm telling you, all this stuff is on nightly news out there. Okay. And by the way, we have to give this information under British law. It's called right to reply. It's good journalism anyway. We give all our evidence to the targets of investigation and say, so, true, false, tell us. BP, did you bribe? Did you cover up the blowout? They said, we followed the rules. I said, that doesn't sound like denial. I'm not hearing denial. In the case of Zambia, $3 million was paid to the so-called favorite charity, Mr. Goldfinger and his buddies. And now the president's favorite charity seemed to be the president, because he took a lot of his loot, and we followed his trail of his loot, and he took the money to his bank. And his bank is, of course, in Geneva, Switzerland. So we follow his trail, and like you would, he stopped to go shopping before he went to the bank, and he stopped into a boutique and spent about $1 million cash on 200 pairs of elevator shoes, his short dictator, and a diamond-studded tie, 90 leisure suits. Ooh. And well, how do we know this? Because Ms. Badpenny, who speaks, you'll meet her in Vulture's Picnic, she speaks about four languages quite fluently, 12 accents, and a lot of wonderful fashionable disguises, and looks like a TV star, walks in with our camera crew so she can get permission to film, and says, we are from a reality TV show called Shopping with the Rich and Famous. Speaking the local Alpine German, right? Shopping with the Rich and Famous. She's switching to French then. And she says, oh, anyone rich and famous shop here? Oh, the president of Zambia was just here. 200 pairs of shoes, million. He blew $1 million. We got the stuff. We put it on air. What this guy did was sign papers allowing Goldfinger to basically pick up tens of millions of dollars. Where does Zambia get that? The answer is, that was the money we gave them for AIDS medicine. Nice. Huh? We try to ask him about it here. We had a stakeout. Oh, American television stations don't do stakeouts. We do stakeouts. We always ask, we have to ask very politely. We ask 3, 4, 7 times, would you please explain this to us? And if you don't come to explain it to us, we do something American TV doesn't do. We come to you at dawn with the papers to ask you about it. Now, so that's Mr. Goldfinger. Now, we put this on air, and we put the story of the Congo and Endo and Sako on the air, the stolen securities from Bosnia, the cholera epidemic. We even had one where I met with the president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, because we're tracking another vulture fund called the Hamsa, the evil eye. And I knew that one of the five hands, because I'm dealing with a kind of Professor Moriarty who loves to play these little games with me while I'm tracing him around the planet. I knew that one finger was inside her cabinet, and I said, there's someone inside from the Hamsa, and they've got a chokehold on Liberia. She fired her whole cabinet, got him. Didn't know which one, but got him. Now, we put this on the air, and the British government, the British Parliament, all parties made this vulture activity illegal in Britain. Germany, Holland made it illegal. China, you can't collect this money. Basically, the entire civilized world and uncivilized has made this stuff, has made it these guys outlaws. So, in other words, Mr. Romney's billionaire and Mr. Goldfinger and the rest of these one percenters and the rest of the world are outlawed. Are outlaws. But in America, they're job creators. Okay? And that is why we occupy. In other words, we occupy for Stanley Ann Mattingly at the Osage Reservation, for Jason Alexander in memoriam on the Deepwater Horizon, for Chief Criollo and his sons, for Etoc, for Janessa Gregg, under that pipe that exploded, for Sashiko Sato, who is a farmer in Fukushima with a farm that's poison forever. And for Endo and Sako in the cholera quarantine center in Kinshasa. That's why we occupy, because it's not about the real estate. It's not about whether we have tents or tarps or any of that. It's about them and us. And as I say in the book, if I could just read one little paragraph, there's only one story. That's what I'm investigating. It's all one story. It's about them and us. All right, they get homes bigger than Disneyland, and we get foreclosure notices. They get private jets to private islands, and we get tar balls and lost futures and pay their gambling debts with our pensions. They get the third trophy wife and a tax break, and we get subprime. They get two candidates on the ballot, and we're told to choose. They get the gold mine. We get the shaft. Okay, now I'll be signing books and answering your questions out there. Okay? And go to vulturespicnic.org, because this is about the information. Are they job creators or are they vultures who are waiting for us to die to feast? Waiting for economies to die to feast. I haven't even gotten to the Goldman Sachs chapter. That's what's in Vultures Picnic. And I want you to go to vulturespicnic.org and download the first chapter. It says excerpts, which, again, is against my publisher's corporate policy, so that's why it's there. Download the first chapter. Spread the information around, because I want you to have the information about the 1% to answer the question why we occupy. And because I want Mr. Singer and Goldfinger and the rest of the gang and Stone and Webster and whatever shape they've shifted into to know that the picnic's over, okay? In fact, I agree with Charles Koch on one thing. I want him to get everything that's coming to him. And he may be too big to fail, but he ain't too big to jail. Thank you.
You can hear great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
When the whale gets right and the line runs out and the whale makes a blunder with its tail and the boat capsized and I lost my darling man, no more, no more Greenland for you, brave boys. No more, no more Greenland for you. 'Twas in 1853 on June 13th and the line runs out, and the whale makes a blunder with its tail, and the boat capsized, and I lost my darling man. No more, no more Greenland for you, brave boys. No more, no more Greenland for you.
And now for something completely different.